Good morning, church family. This is my second time speaking to you through this Facebook platform. Since I spoke to you last week, things have changed drastically once again. I've been able to go into my office only once this week. We pretty much had to move all our meetings to Zoom, including our very first online prayer meeting this past Wednesday. And I'll be honest with you, I used to make fun of those people doing online church and never thought to myself that I'd ever participate in this form of worship. Yet again, here I am, delivering my sermon for the first time from the comfort of my living room. You probably feel the same way, but this has been probably one of the most surreal weeks for many of us. When you go outside, streets are empty. We're learning how to spend all the time that we have with our family at home. I've been learning a bunch of new tools to continue our ministry in the wake of this virus outbreak. My leadership has been stretched in unimaginable ways, like many of you. And honestly, I have no idea what life will look like a week from now or next month. But I can assure you that there is going to be a new normal for all of us. And in many ways, our life will never be the same after this crisis. I also believe that this is a season of pruning and purifying for us as a church. We're learning to value the simple things that we used to take for granted. 3 years ago, I traveled to China to meet with some key Chinese house church leaders to learn about what God was teaching them in the wake of the government persecution against faith communities. Their government was taking down the crosses and tearing down their meeting places, arresting people for gathering for worship and fellowship and prayer. And these leaders told me that this persecution was actually a good thing for the Chinese church, that God would purify the church to focus on the essential things. And people would have to learn new ways to be the church. I believe this coronavirus is doing the same thing for the church in America, if not for the whole world. Our normal lives have been disrupted or have been put on a hold. We're now allowed to conduct only the essential businesses. This is one of the new phrases we're getting used to. I'm titling today's message, The Essential Businesses of the Church. And I want to take you to Acts chapter 2. It's a very familiar passage, which actually happens right after the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the first gathering of the believers. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we are going to read from verse 42 through 47, and this is going to be from the Passion Translation. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. This is the only place in the Bible that gives us a pictorial description of what actually happened when the Holy Spirit filled the people of God. When we think of the Holy Spirit, most of us wonder about the external, physical, or visible manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, if you read Acts chapter 2, there were some crazy things that happened on that day. But I want you to realize that the real lasting change that took place in people was all internal. The greatest miracle that takes place when the Spirit of God comes upon His people is that He changes our devotion. I want you to think for a moment, what's been your devotion lately? Is it your career, health, family, planning and preparing for the future, even for disasters like this coronavirus outbreak. All those are important, and these are the most basic human values, what we deem important or essential in life. But when the Spirit of God fell upon the first church, their devotions radically changed. The scripture passage we just read lists four things. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. These four things are what I would like to call the essential businesses of the church. And these four things were the keys or secrets to growing and expanding the kingdom of God. When the people of God devoted to these four things, the church began to grow exponentially. And it says at the end of this chapter that it was the Lord who added to the numbers of those people who were being saved. See, as a pastor, I've been trying to grow the church. I've been devoting myself to having the right tools, right ministries, right personnel, and right venues and programs and such. But do you realize that the strategy of the early church and the strategy that the Holy Spirit gave to the early believers was actually very simple? God's Word, fellowship, communion, and prayer. And right now, we feel like those four things, even those four things are out of our reach at this moment. But I believe that God is calling His church back to these four basic disciplines of our faith. God is at the center of this crisis. You realize nothing happens unless the Lord allows it. At this moment in time, it seems like our basic freedom has been taken away. Our freedom to worship, to fellowship, to break bread, to pray, at least for the next several weeks. So we're going to have to learn how to do these four things in the coming days. I spent a lot of time this week reflecting on and discerning what God is trying to teach us through this coronavirus outbreak. Let me just share a few thoughts God's been putting on my heart. First of all, I believe that through this time of crisis, God is really deepening our desires or longing for the essential things of our faith, the things that we took for granted. Do you know what I missed the most since our Deep Alive conference 2 weeks ago? It's actually the voice of your singing, or our singing. The last few days, Abigail and I got to sit on the piano and we pull out our guitar and we would sing our favorite worship songs. But we realize that it's not the same. I miss being able to hug you, shake your hands, and love my kids, and it's great to spend this time together as a family. But if this shelter in place goes on indefinitely, I'm not sure if I can handle just being with just my family alone all this time. We're not meant to live alone. Even as a family, it will never take the place of a true community. Another phrase we've been learning lately is social distancing. Social distancing doesn't mean social disengagement. One thing Sandy and I decided to do during this lockdown is actually to pick up our directory and spend at least an hour a day just calling people, talking to people. I realized that because I've been so preoccupied with just the responsibility of leading, directing, and managing the businesses and the programs of the church, that I hardly had any time to actually connect with people individually. So you'll be getting a call from me and Sandy in the next few days or weeks, and please don't screen us. I know you're home most of the time. I also miss gathering around the Lord's table to break bread with you. You know that our communion is really vital to our connectedness. I am imagining some clever ways to do this virtually online in the days ahead. You'll probably have to go out and buy a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine or grape juice, but we will get creative. We have to find ways to do this as a body of Christ. I also miss praying with people. You know, you can only pray so much on your own, you know that. This Wednesday, we had our first online prayer meeting, and probably close to 50 people joined in our online Zoom prayer meeting for our English congregation. Almost the same number of people from our Mandarin and Cantonese congregation came out. Even our youth had a chance to get together virtually to pray. So don't miss out on this opportunity that God is giving us. Find ways to connect with people. Share what God is teaching you and pray for one another and encourage one another in this time. Secondly, I believe God is really breaking this invisible walls that have been built between churches and believers. Even within our denomination, let alone our district, I've been finding it really difficult for the local churches to come together in a collaborative spirit. We've all been very busy building our own little enterprises and our ministries. We've never actually had the opportunity to unite together for our common calling until now. I feel like the border of my fellowship has dramatically widened and expanded in the last couple of weeks. I've had at least half dozen Zoom calls with our district pastors and denominational leaders, friends that I had not spoken to for years, just to learn and discern how to lead and navigate this season well. This morning, I was in a prayer meeting with 11 other men from Africa, Middle East, Europe, and the East Coast, all praying together for revival, praying for the ministries that we represent. Had we not been going through this crisis, I'm not sure if we would have come together to pray and seek God's heart like this. So utilize this time to widen your circle of friendship. Churches have been so preoccupied with just growing and sustaining their own ministries, and all of a sudden, God is breaking these walls of independent and competitive spirit because we're coming to realize that we cannot stand alone. Thirdly, God is inviting us to get down on our knees. In the Bible, whenever there was a plague or calamity or disaster, the default response of God's people was always prayer of fasting and repentance. But I feel like there's too little of fasting and repenting going on right now, and there's probably too much of opinionating and finger pointing. You know, the coronavirus was not created by the Chinese people, nor the American military. This outbreak is not the fault of our own government. The only way that we are going to come out of this well is if God would actually lift His hand of judgment and put His hand of mercy over us. We had struggled in the past just setting aside time to pray because we've been so busy. So God is giving us time and space to seek His face. I know many of you still have to work from home, but at least you don't have to commute. We cannot afford not to pray as God's people in this season. The stake is too high. And we will never grasp what God is really trying to teach us until we are willing to get on our knees and seek His face. So let's get on our knees, church. Let's pray for God's mercy. Pray for revival in this next season. The crisis will come to an end. My biggest concern and my prayer for the church is not we will survive this crisis, but will we have learned the lessons God wants to teach us? After weeks of shelter in place, will the church look any different? Will we be able to rise up to face the new challenges that's going to come? Will our habits and desires have changed? Will we have become men and women of prayer? Or will we go back to the business as usual? This virus is horrible. There's no other way to describe it. This is a difficult time, not only for the church, but also for the whole world. But there are these important lessons that God wants to teach us. There are new things that God wants to equip the church with. There are new desires that God wants to instill in all of us. We're going to learn and grow from this experience together. I want to encourage on this particular day of the Lord, spend some time seeking the Lord in prayer and thinking about how your life will be different when this crisis passes. How will your family be different? What will you have learned? Set aside some time today to connect with people that God has brought into your life. Learn how to use new tools like Zoom and other online platforms to connect with those people in your life that you probably took for granted. Pick up that directory and maybe make some phone calls today. Encourage one another and pray with someone you haven't. We're all going to come out of this refined, revived, and renewed. Will you just join me in prayer? Father, we stand together this morning in posture of humility, recognizing that we have taken too many things for granted. In many ways, we have offended you with our spirit of entitlement. We pray for your mercy and grace. We pray for the spirit of revival upon your people today, starting with us in our homes. We ask that the same Holy Spirit that radically transformed the early church will be poured out once again upon your church. We surrender our ungodly devotions today. By the power of your Spirit, will you revive our longings for true worship, fellowship, and communion, and the prayer of the saints? Help us not to waste this crisis, Lord. May your church rise up with a prophetic voice for the world in the days ahead. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope we can meet in person together soon. But until then, I look forward to seeing you again through our Facebook Live next week. Have an amazing week, and may you just enjoy the favor and the blessing of the Lord as you continue to seek His face in the days ahead. God bless you.